events of the year of our Lord 2006, and time marches on. What an exciting time to live, you know. I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 21, if you would. This is the chapter that tells exactly what's going to happen to you at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also at the return of the false Messiah. For as Christ ordered him off the earth, he will return, and he will be delivered before him. But how are you warned to observe, to look forward, to be careful, to take note? Our Father never leaves you wanting. He always keeps you informed. Why? He loves you. So, Luke chapter 1, let's begin with, if we may, with verse 25 concerning the delivering, the time of the Gentiles must be completed. And then he gives us this warning, this advice. Verse 25, Luke 21 reads, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." What a year we've had for that. We've had with an earthquake in the Pacific, 9 on the Richter scale, and a tsunami that killed over 215,000 souls with water, with angry waves. And, along our southern coast, from Florida all the way to Texas and the Gulf of Mexico, do you know what those hurricanes that destroyed so much, even the city of New Orleans? It wasn't wind that did it. It was waves. Waves of water. And for miles and miles and miles, with total towns being washed away. Such vast destruction that it should grab anyone's attention is that things are not right. And the nations in perplexity, look around the world today with terrorists running wild, blowing up innocent people in trains, buses, cities, schools. In Russia itself, how many, 300 or better children destroyed in their own school. What a time we've had in this world as we observe for the perplexity of the nations and the waves roaring. But what about the signs in the sun and the moon and the stars? Do you know how to look for signs there? Verse 26, "Men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." And naturally, when they are shaken, you know what happens. That's when Antichrist appears, for he's jarred out. That's why you want to be on the rock, the real rock. Verse 27, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." And not until these other things must come to pass, all of his enemies must be made his footstool, before you're going to see him coming. So you got work to do. But how do you look for signs in the heavens? How do they speak to you? Verse 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." I tell you one thing, I don't think in history you've ever seen the waves roar or the perplexity of the nations in the state that they are now in this generation of the fig tree, in which we know from Mark 13, a kin chapter to this Luke 21, this just being a side profile of that, that Christ returns at that time. So you need to be alert. And you need to observe. God uses symbology to teach with throughout the great Word of God. He, in the beginning, sometimes he would use the rainbow. Many signs from heaven as a sign to you. It means something. Do you know how to read the signs of heaven? Okay. And that's what's important. That's our warning device. That's how God speaks to us. In observing the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the very nature itself. I'm not saying, do you know what heated that water to almost 90 degrees in the Gulf of Mexico that made Katrina so deadly? It was the sun. The sun heated those waters. That sign came from there. Only that wasn't a sign, that was a reality. So bear with me and separate that is real from symbolism. And metaphorically, we're going to cover some things today, but that's how you read the signs. And it's very important that a normal mind must be able to separate that is actual and that is metaphorical, and still gain the knowledge that God would have you draw from that event. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalms. Let's go to the great book of Psalms, Psalms 84. And let's begin to learn from our Father's Word, or to remind ourselves, I should say, because we've all covered it, and we're all seasoned Christians, and we know. But let's refresh ourselves in being able to understand our Heavenly Father's Word. Psalms 84, I'm going to pick it up with verse 9. Learn how to observe what God instructs you to do. This is a most beautiful prayer. And Korah and his sons guarded the door. They were the doorkeepers. Okay? I'll just mention that in passing as we're starting here. Verse 9 of Psalms 84. Behold, our God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. This has to do, who is the anointed? Messiah. It's also God's elect who were anointed in the first earth age, as God set aside ones, as the Zadok, as those that have eyes to see and ears to hear and to know. Well, how did you get chosen? You earned it by serving God at that rebellion. But who is your shield? You've got one. I don't care how much trouble there is in the world. He that controls the whole world is your shield. It's promised. Now, people only fear when they don't realize that, when they can't come to that point of reality that God loves you and He is our shield. And verse 10, for a day in thy courts, that's to say a day in the courts of Almighty God, is better than a thousand. Let's complete the thought in the translation. It would be better to serve one day in the court of God than a thousand courts with the highest position in earthly courts. You know, any of you familiar with earthly courts today, judges and so forth? I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. In other words, than to have the highest job in Satan's wicked courts of today, where judgment rarely is found. And I'm not judging anyone and I'm not calling any numbers, but I'd rather be in God's court there one day, be in His one court, than a thousand high hats today. And that's the way it should be. You should be looking forward to that. You mean to tell you why? You know, but I'll remind you. Because it's eternal. A day in His court is forever. And a day in His court is blessings, not trouble. Okay? Verse 11, this is why we came here. For the Lord God is a sun. S-U-N. You are to observe the signs in the sun. Our Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. So here we see a metaphorical way in the Scriptures that God brings the cheering presence of Yah to you metaphorically in the sun. Now again, as I warned you, Don't go worshiping the sun. Okay? It's just a metaphor. What does the sun do? Well, the sun's what warmed that water in the Gulf of Mexico. And that was a reality. When you plant your garden each year, why do you think it grows? There are a number of reasons, you know. You got to have a little water, and you got to have the soil. But have you ever tried it without the sun? You know, it bleaches out pretty quick, doesn't it? It doesn't grow without the sun. So metaphorically, you have he that brings joy and perfection. And symbolically speaking, stay with me now. I don't want to create any sun worshipers out of this. Okay? Don't need that. That's heathenistic. You've got to learn to read signs of that is metaphorically put forth by God so that you see and understand his language, his scripture. So what are we seeing? God as the sun brings you joy. So when the prophecy is read, the sun turned dark, what does that mean? It means that God withdraws himself from the wicked. And it is a dark day, metaphorically speaking. You got it? It isn't that the sun disappears. That's not going to happen. But in the dark days, it means that God, our sun, withdraws himself to that point that darkness can come upon the earth. And yet at the same time, he reassures you, even at that point of darkness, that he brings you cheer and joy and grace. That's an unmerited favor. Even when you mess up, on repentance, he forgives you and blesses you. And do you know what else it said? He's not going to withhold anything you need to do his work. And, you know, a wise Christian doesn't pray for something that's foolish or a circus. You pray for what you need to do God's work and to be the life you need in the support of Almighty God and his blessings, to be a fruitful servant. And do you know what a servant does? They work. A servant works. A servant produces fruit. And the sun brings forth upon that person the ability to grow and to produce that fruit. While we're in the book of Psalms, turn with me to the 19th Psalm. Let's understand more about how God speaks to us from the heavens. Psalms 19. Psalms 19 reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." The heavens themselves declare the glory of God. That's the sun, the moon, and the stars. They talk to us. Of course they do. It's written. They not only talk it, they declare it, and God's glory within it. All you have to do is read, and metaphorically, according to the scripture, understand what's happening around you. Verse 2, "Day unto day uttereth speech." I mean, day after day, it sets forth. It's visible. And the word uttereth even means prophecy. It utters prophecy to you. And night unto night, night after night, it showeth knowledge. I don't know, are you watching? Are you observing? Not without understanding the significance, or that is to say, the symbology that your Father utilizes to discuss with you that are chosen, God's elect, those that believe upon him, those believers, how to follow him. Verse 3. "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, or on which their voice is not heard." It's everywhere. It's worldwide. Now, who's doing the talking here? The heavens. Well, we just kind of learned, didn't we, that the sun itself, metaphorically speaking, represents God, our shield. So, he talks to you every day, doesn't he? Are you listening? It rains down over the whole earth. Listen carefully, verse 4. Their line, that's to say their inheritance, has gone out through all the earth. And their words, what is their word? The word is the law of God. Their words to the end of the world, in them what? In them, the heavens, hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Now don't read over that. What's a tabernacle? A pavilion, a citadel, a place of worship. And I'm not trying to create any, again, we're speaking metaphorically, okay? And you must understand that so that you can read the signs of Almighty God. He actually sets a tabernacle there, a tent, for the sun, whereby his word can come from the heavens, and you can read it. Verse 5, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race, getting it all set, when he, the bridegroom, will come ultimately, the Messiah, which is anointed and blessed through the Father. 6, his going forth is from the end of the earth, or from the end of heaven, from one end of heaven to the other, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. There's nothing hidden that's in between. Do you understand? God opens everything to you if you will listen, if you will read, if you will serve him. Symbolically speaking, within that sun is the tabernacle, and it's the tabernacle for what? Where we can kind of simplify this down where it just really flows like honey. You'll find the answer in verse 7. The law, that's what we're talking about, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting, that's to say restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I mean, making wise in what way? Understanding time. Listen to me very carefully between this verse 4 and 7. In a metaphorical language, in the metaphorical language of Scripture, the sun is the emblematic, it's the emblematic of the law of God. That's why we can use the sun as a calendar, and it's never wrong. That's why our Passover always falls on the same day, because we go by the solar, the sun, for it is accurate. That's why all prophecies concerning the children of God are given in days, not moons, not months. All prophecies given concerning Satan and his are in darkness, that is to say, with the light withdrawn. And you have the moons, the prophecy. How long was Satan the Antichrist to reign? 42 months. How long were the witnesses to have? 1,260 days. Solar, deus. So read the signs, but know and understand, metaphorically speaking, that our Father has many messages. Those heavens open up. Do you know something? Verse 7 that we just read through verse 9, 6 times is the Word of God titled, meaning coming from the heavens. Now, many might say, well, are we to worship the heavens? No, where's your Father? He's in heaven. Okay. Well, where would you hear from him? From the heavens, of course. So, don't underestimate his ability of communication and in signs to know and to understand. that metaphorically, when it, a prophecy, that when I translated to you, the word uttered means uttered prophecies of the end times. That it gives you an understanding if you listen. And metaphorically speaking, any prophecies that says it's a day of darkness, it means that God is withdrawing himself from that wickedness. That's all. Okay? Sun didn't go down, nothing miraculously happened that any Christian can know, because the sun will just disappear. That's not what it's talking about. It means the presence of God, his glory. And did you catch when we were in Psalm, that earlier Psalms, it brings cheer, okay, brings joy. His joy is removed from those that can't read the signs of heaven, the stars, the moon, the sun, to absorb the truth concerning the end times. And again, I'll reiterate from verse 7 that we just read through verse 9, the title of God's word is mentioned 6 times. Now, some of you may have a little trouble, but in the 9th verse, the word true should be translated truth. And that is one of the titles of Almighty God's Word. We'll pick it back up again with verse 8. Do you understand? God has set a pavilion. That's a place of learning for you to learn in the very sun itself, and it was set there for God's law. That means God's way. Everything on time and everything in perfection. Verse 8, another title, the statutes of the Lord are right. You don't have to wonder about it. Rejoice in the heart. The commandment, another title, of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. I don't know, they give you sight, they give you spiritual understanding. How to read signs of the end times. 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And it is. The judgments, another title, of the Lord are true. That is to say, they are the truth and righteous altogether. And so it is. 6 times he mentions his own word lodging within that pavilion. In the of the sun and the heavens to speak to you, to let you know the method of communication. Oftentimes he utilizes as well as the earth and the events that transpire there as well among the nations, as long as the time of the Gentiles are until they are completed. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold. I mean, it's the most precious thing in the world, the truth, enlightenment, to be able to understand the signs of the heavens. Because that was the first verse here in this chapter. The heavens want to talk to you. They rain down the truth. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. But the very dropping down of truth. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. You got it. Don't ever forget it. You are warned about the time. You are warned about the season. You are warned by the word of God, by whatever title you wish to call it. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. What does that mean? He's going to reward you. Everything you do will be blessed. That I'm talking about in serving him, okay? That's what true blessings are. You'll be blessed in every effort you make that has his approval and is assisting him. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. He'll always do that. And we, well, brother, that doesn't apply to me. I don't have any. Oh, you're something special, ain't you? Well, we'll let you take that up with the Father. 13, keep back thy servants also from presumptuous sins. I would rather translate that arrogant men. Keep me away from arrogant men. Let them not have dominion over me. it ain't going to happen in the first place, okay? Let some arrogant guy come along and try to have something over me and see where it ends him, okay? Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. What is the great transgression? The apostasy, the deception of the end times, the great falling away of people being deceived by Antichrist. Keep you from it. The truth will do that. It will not let you be made a fool of. Where does all this come from? The heavens. Who's there? Your Father. And He communicates in many ways. Can you read Him? 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength. This is her, my rock, my solid rock, and my redeemer. There you have it, one of the greatest psalms in God's Word, of how He speaks, and how that He made a provision for His law right there with the Son, that is always precious in perfect time, in giving life, which is symbolic of He, our Father. Understand, He is not our Father, but as our Father, it gives light, it gives warmth, it warms your heart. It gives you knowledge and wisdom. And then does He utilize the stars, the moon, and the sun to guide? Of course He does. That's why we use the metaphor, so that you can read and know and be warned and understand. You know, you might say, let's go and catch another prophecy, okay, and see how much this helps us in understanding the prophecy. If you would, go to the great book of Joel in the Minor Prophets. We would have the great book of Daniel, then we would have Hosea, and then we would have that little snugged in there book, Joel. Joel is the chapter that tells you, my sons and my daughters shall prophesy. My sons and my daughters shall see dreams and visions. My sons and my daughters will do my work. Okay. But let's take it, if we may, chapter 2. Let's pick it up with verse 2 and see if you can read this a little better. And this is the coming of the false army. And you know the beauty? God controls it also, the army of the locust. That's to say, Satan's little army. God only allows it. Okay, verse 2 let's take 1, okay? Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. And so it is. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. God allows Satan to put forth an army when he appears here on earth. Why? To test you out. You have power over them. You don't have to worry. God is your shield. But people that are unlearned will be sucked in by this. But day of darkness, again, what did that mean? Why? Let's skip on to verse 10. The earth, you understand the verses between there apply to that bad army coming against us. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. In other words, God is going to withdraw from the people with no understanding. And they're going to find out what dark can really be, because they're going to be listening to the apostasy and the apostate, deceived world that will have an end. That is to say, Satan's time. So there you have the understanding and the metaphor of the sun turning dark. Doesn't mean it quits. means God withdraws from those people, not you, because he has promised you what? What has he promised you in the New Testament? Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. And he promised you that again, I will never withhold anything from you, in that 84th Psalm. So you want to listen to your father and communicate that it's going to be kind of sad for those that don't believe. And hey, do you know what's really sad about this? There are many people that are considering themselves to be good churchgoers. They're really pew potatoes. They sit there on those pews and haven't studied the Word to communicate with our Father. And the apostasy might grab them in. Might. We don't judge. But let's continue on. Verse 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? I can answer that for you. You can. Okay. Why? Because he has communicated with you. Don't fear. I'm not going to withhold anything from you. That's the peace, your power, your authority to do God's work. But boy, those that are unlearned, those that you have tried to lead and wouldn't listen, pray for them. They're going to need it. Okay. Because it's going to be a strong leading in an opposite direction, and many will believe. But you listen to your Father. Therefore, also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. It's not going to be happy to see our relatives and friends misled, my friends. And rend your heart, and let your mind, and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. He won't let the evil come on you if you will repent and be with him, study his word, be in his truth. 14. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? He will. He promises it. You can count on it. What are you supposed to do? I don't know. Do you believe the word? What does it say? 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast and call a solemn assembly. That means a day of restraint. I mean, you teach God's word truth as you see truth, and don't you let anyone fall in the way of that. God has certainly blessed us that our old trumpet is several feet across, and it goes around the world. And we blow it, and we sound it. And he brings forth the blessings, and I love him for that. What does it? His word. His hand. He withholds nothing, that we are blessed because he is blessed, because children are saved, hearts are redeemed. The word, as we read in that 19th Psalm, converts. That is to say, it brings them back into the fold. They're that sheep that went astray, and you touched them with his word, to where they came home to their Father, and he loves them. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breath. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Well, we've got to put a stop to this people of you people using God's name. That's what the heathen say today. We've got to remove Christ's word. We've got to remove all God's law. You know, if they only knew that God built a pavilion around the sun and put his law there, the Ten Commandments, how would they like to try to remove that? Okay. Metaphorically speaking, of course, but I say that and utilize it to show how phony they are. How little, like little bitty ants running around, you know, trying to change God. It ain't going to happen. Our Father's in control. And we have the victory. All right. We give not one quarter. We give on no quarter. We take ground. We don't give it up. And there will be a fight in this year like never before, singling out those few that would go against Almighty God, because God Himself will bring them out and deliver them. And so it is. So, when we, you know, usually when there was an elders meeting, only the elders showed up. And when there was a wedding, only this person, that. And here, bring all, even the suckling babies. That's how important this meeting and gathering is, preparing for the end. Okay? Then, verse 18. Then will the Lord be jealous for His land and pity His people. He'll love them. Remembering. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto His people, Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. He's talking to His election here. But I, not, you want to know who removes this army? We won't. Listen to it. But I will remove far off from you the northern army. That's the locust of Revelation chapter 9. And will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Thought he was, but it's going to come to an end. But you serve he that is eternal. And skip on down, if you would, to verse 25. This verse of restoration. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. He allowed it. Do you understand how good our Father is? He's letting you know that He even controls the enemy that's coming against us, meaning He allows. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord. And hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never, that is to say, never be ashamed. You know, that's a good camp to be in, beloved. Have you ever really been shamed? It doesn't feel good, okay? When you serve Him, you never have to be worried about being shamed, because you're in the right camp. Verse 27, And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord. Not Satan, I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And here we go. This is where you come in. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. That's when Mark 13 comes to pass, that they're delivered and the Holy Spirit speaks through the mouths of the people of God. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. That's divine judgment, okay? You don't have to worry about it. The sun shall be turned into darkness. For them it will be. And you understand what that means. And the moon into blood. In other words, the moon will have nothing to reflect. When God removes, the prophecies of Satan will go into the pit, the 42 months, before the great and the terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, not maybe, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, and the Lord said, hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. I don't know, has He talked to you? Has He touched you? Is He showing you the signs? Do you feel the pressure that is brought upon the nations even at this time? While we're here, turn over to Amos chapter 8. metaphorically reading the signs. Amos chapter 8, verse 7. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. He won't. Okay? Do you know why he won't forget any of your works? It's in the book, by your name. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. And we've kind of seen that, and it was this year, the past year, beloved. It was not a pretty sight, but it happened, and it was written, and so it is. Pray for the people of this world that they find deliverance. How many did he say he would save? Anybody that called on his name. That's why we sound the trumpet, so that they have the knowledge and the wisdom to do exactly that. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon. I'm going to pull myself away. The tabernacle pavilion of God's law is closed. That is to say, as far as the wicked are concerned. And I will darken the earth in the clear day. That's why they try to get rid of the Word of God, beloved. Even God in the Pledge of Allegiance. It's Satan's own manipulation to withdraw God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you remember what happened in Russia when they withdrew God? Back in the 40s, 50s. Okay. I mean, were they a blooming success with God's blessings? No, it came to a miserable end, failure. Speaking of a land without God. They had to have help from a nation that in God we trust. So it's dark, but in your eye is the light of the world, our Father. And that pavilion, that is His law, is symbolic of His law, His Word, that you can always trust. It never changes. That's why He picked the sun. It is utilized. I could go on and on and on. Do you know how you are told if you don't have a compass how to find your way? It's really tough. In the morning, when you wake up, you stick your little head out and wipe your eyes and look. Which way does the sun come up from? It's over in the east. Well, if you face the east and put your arm out at a 90 degrees like this from the sun, what direction are you looking at? Can it be south, okay? And if you go south and go over here when the sun sets, that's west, okay? And then the northern army comes from where? Go back to east and raise your left hand. See, right is south, that's right. But left is Satan's way, that's to the north. Okay, and so it is. The sun gives us, it's so good to us. It never changes. It lets us know when it passes over that equator that you need to get your long handles out. It's going to get cold, okay, and so forth. It just really unloads on us just facts of life, but also from our Father. They're trying to darken the world. They're trying to turn the lights out, beloved. And prophecy is coming to pass even as we sit and as we think. It's maybe a lot later than we might think. So the current events for this year, and especially this past year, are earth-shaking. They're fantastic, and we need to know more than ever how to read those signs. So our Father says that when that happens, the whole goes down at noon. Verse 10, and I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as a mourning of an only son. and the end thereof is a bitter day. There's no joy without God, beloved. Listen to me carefully. Verse 11. This documents what we've been saying. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That's why it goes dark. Because it will be very difficult at that time of the apostasy to hear the word of the Lord. They'll be starving for truth. People even today, as that sign approaches, are starving, absolutely starving for truth. Yes, Father set a pavilion there metaphorically so that we could know and understand that He set that memorial. And that memorial is that word from the heavens. Is metaphorically speaking, when God either is with you or you have left Him. He'll never leave you, but a lot of people leave Him. And they never realize they really have. Why? They see what they think is a brighter light in a different direction, which is the false Messiah. It's going to be a dark day. Going to be a lot of hurt souls. To conclude, go with me to the last book of this Old Testament, Malachi. Malachi chapter 4, and we're going to pick it up with verse 1 to complete. Last book of the Old Testament. Chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh, not maybe, not perhaps, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. Now what did it say about those that have a good heart? It doesn't apply to you. So don't get your heckles up, and don't worry. God loves you. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. That's when the tares hit the lake, friend. They're going swimming. They're going swimming in the lake of fire. And the tares and all that have joined themselves with them on the great Lord's Day at the end of it, at Judgment Day. To listen carefully. But unto you that fear my name, that love me, shall the Son, S-U-N, shall the Son of Righteousness, this is why the metaphor pertains to the Anointed One, Christ. Do you understand? To Christ. Son of Righteousness, rise with healing in His wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Man, romp, play, trump. I'd rather watch little old calves in their happiness than you can just name. Little old nursery set up, and here they go. Okay, happiness, not a troubled world. The Son brings that metaphorically speaking. Okay. That's why you want to read the signs from the stars, the sun, and the moon. And ye shall tread down, and ye shall tread down the wicked. Who's going to do that? Ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. And remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And so that spirit of Elijah dwells in the whole family, that reaches out to reach the children, to turn their hearts to the true Father, not the fake, but the true Father, whereby they are saved from that firmament of death, that firmament of destruction that they find in that lake of fire. Then what is the Son to us? Metaphorically, it's our shield. Metaphorically, as our Father gives us life, so does it. Does our Father utilize the sun? Well, He heated the waters in the Gulf up pretty good. Good enough to swim in. Okay. But to do a lot of other things too. Did He do that purposely? Things happen. Okay. We're in that time. What do the heavens do for you? They speak in every language. That's nature. Read the signs and be awake, especially in this generation. A happy new year. It's going to be a good one. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for Your word. We thank You for Your truths. We thank You for Your signs and seasons, Father. Thank You for warning us. We give You the thanks in His precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
Under God, out of the Pledge of Allegiance, the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses, Christ out of Christmas. I believe this is the beginning of the famine that God will send. So, do you believe this? Be sure and catch the current events of 2006, okay? They're trying it, and you know, there is a strange thing that has happened. Christians are beginning to notice that they're not being just nice to not offend a little minority, but that they're being used. They're being taken advantage of. And when Christians realize that somebody's using them or taking advantage of, they are one aggressive people. And we're going to fight this with that aggression. That if anybody tries to tamper with our beliefs, they do not become a friend, they become an enemy. And we do not do business with our enemies. We rather make it as hard on that enemy as we can. And that's real easy to do with the right leadership. The attempt is being made grand style. But I'm really praying and hoping that this year is going to begin to turn that tide. But it will in America, but it won't around the world. You are absolutely correct. We are coming to that time that the sun will be darkened, symbolic of God pulling back and seeing what man's going to do. We're not going to let him down. Susan from North Carolina, what difference does it make, and why does the devil waste his time trying to tempt someone that has been saved when the words say once saved, always saved? Is the devil not wasting his time? I don't understand. He's not wasting his time at all. Who does the saving? Man doesn't. Christ does. And then what does Christ say that you need to do after that? Every time you sin, you have to repent or you may go to hell. That doesn't mean Christ failed. It means you failed. So, say, of all people, Satan wants those people. And he thinks he's sharp enough to get most of them. And quite frankly, if you don't recognize that, you're a pretty good candidate. See that you're not. Okay. Hope from Oklahoma. I don't know if you answer questions written in like this, but I'm confused, so here goes. Well, we're having a stab at it, okay? If I understand correctly, when you die, you go instantly to God. That's correct. To be absent from this body is present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8. So if someone dies today that won't go, they would go straight to God, what happens to them then? Are they judged right then? What do they do until Christ returns? Do they live in heaven? Even if they were bad, they live on the opposite side, which is to say paradise, but there's a gulf between, and all the baddies go over here. Okay. Waiting for judgment. God's not going to send anybody to hell until after the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20. But they will. This is why Jesus taught the parable in Luke chapter 16 to answer your questions, okay, about what people that have passed on to the Father are doing. They realize that they messed up when they're on the wrong side. Hey, I'm out of time. Guess what? I love y'all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, so that it is God that speaks, not man. Okay. But you know what? The main thing is it makes God's day. It causes Him to love you. When you make His day, He's going to really make yours. You see what I mean? Okay, we're brought to you by your tithes and offering pay. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. But there's one thing that's more important. It's this, that you stay in His Word. Hey, every day in His Word, even with trouble, it's still a good day. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, Emmanuel, God with us, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The book of Peter. Here we have two books, 1st and 2nd Peter, that are absolutely fascinating. That great old fisherman telling us, leading us, directing us, guiding us, going into the depth, if you